Craig Kahn is a multimedia personality in the golf business. He's one of the originals on the Golf Channel. He wrote a bestseller called Can You Get Our Attention? He hosts a weekly show on Sirius called Connected. The former chief communications officer for the LPGA. Craig, you wear a lot of hats. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Yeah, we're a White Sox hat too, and we lost last night to the Yankees. What a series that's been so far, and especially that game the other night in Iowa. So, man, it's been a good couple of days. How are you doing? Good to be with you.
It's so great to talk to you, Craig. You know, I want to get your take on a variety of golf topics, but before we get into all of that, you were one of the original hosts on the Golf Channel when that channel first kicked off way back in 1995. I remember it well because I was there as well. What are your memories from those early days?
Well, you know, there's so many things, and I did write about that in the book, just, you know, the risk that we all took and the opportunity that came to us. I always remember my opportunity to go down there and interview. I was working in Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids in local television at the time. And I'd covered a bunch of golf, and my agent had sent my tape down there. And all of a sudden he gets a call, and then I get a call, and he says, hey, there's this new thing called the Golf Channel, and they like your tape. They're interested. They want to fly you down. Are you interested? And I said, absolutely. You know, they flew me down first class, and I was blown away by that. Now, they flew me back home coach, and I never quite figured out why I got the coach ticket on the way home, but I'm forever grateful for that. It was a tremendous interview and an opportunity. I got like 24 hours to make a decision. We had the best cast of characters. We had people behind the scenes. We had people in front of the scenes, you know, Mike Ritz, Tom Nettles, Brian Hammonds, Jennifer Mills, go on down the line, Mark Lai. There were just some great, great people there. And I didn't think it would fail because Joe Gibbs, not the racing guy, not the football coach, he had what it took. And Arnold Palmer obviously had the world. And that was huge. And we worked hard. And we got the buy-in from the players. They did not want it to fail for us. I always remember people like Fred Couples and Raymond Floyd and obviously Palmer and Trevino and Nicklaus and people that did interviews all the time. The late, great Payne Stewart would say, come on inside the ropes, let's walk and I'll give you some insight. I mean, I think it became golf's channel, not the golf channel. And that was a real powerful thing. And obviously we rode the coattails of Tiger Woods a year later with the Hello World press conference, which is, what, 25 years ago now. That was a great benefit as well. I am forever grateful for that opportunity and the many years that I was hosting shows there.
Absolutely. The access was unbelievable. I remember doing, you know, conversations with Ann Liguori, the weekly show, which I produced independent of the Golf Channel because I was still, you know, doing the show on FAN. Hey, Liguori, what's the story? And, you know, it was a celebrity show. So I was talking to different people like Stallone and Costner and Joe Pesci. And I got Joe Pesci to sit down with me, but he didn't really know what the Golf Channel was. This was, you know, I did a lot of these interviews before the Golf Channel was even on the air. And, you know, he was as feisty as you would think he would be if you watched some of, you know, Joe Pesci's movies. And I basically just kind of dropped Arnold Palmer's name. I said, this is the channel that Arnold Palmer, you know, has founded. And then he just immediately changed his tune. And he says, oh, Arnie's involved? Okay, let's do the interview.
Exactly.
So, and I'll never forget when Arnie flipped that ceremonial switch back in 1995. That opening party was something else. So very special part of history. And, you know, really enjoyed being a part of both the Golf Channel's early days and this radio station's early days, FAN. But your thoughts now, Craig, about, you know, the Golf Channel. They left Orlando and now they're up in Connecticut. It's a whole different story.
It's different. It's totally different. I honestly don't believe if Mr. Palmer were still alive and, you know, walking the fairways or hanging out at Bay Hill that the Golf Channel would be up where it is now in Stamford, Connecticut. I think it would still be in Orlando. And I think that was one of the great things about it. It became an easy hub for tour players, many who lived in Florida, many who would fly in for various reasons. It was a terrific place. And it didn't feel as corporate, you know. It felt very comfortable. It felt like family and all of that. But things change. Things evolve. And obviously Comcast and and NBC, you know, with everything that they did to elevate the awareness of the Golf Channel, maybe take it to mainstream America and the world, is something that you can't put a price tag on. And so I think things evolve and all of that. It's disappointing that it's moved out of Orlando. As a guy who's lived here since 1994, I mean, that's sad. There's definitely some people that lost jobs, and there's a lot of tears and emotion to it. At the same time, I just hope that it will always have its place and that it will remain the Golf Channel. I just don't know that I see that happening. The world's moving quick. Television, communications, everything moving quick. We're in streaming services where everything is different. And I hope that the Golf Channel doesn't lose its way. I hope that they stay there and can partner with, you know, stakeholders and continue to cover events the way they have. But I will say it's different. I don't watch it as much, and that's not a slam on the Golf Channel. It served a great purpose, and I just hope it remains that niche that really started niche channels, niche networks. Golf proved that it could have one, and I think there's a lot to that because everybody plays the game and they can all relate, and it's special.
Absolutely. I agree with all of that. You know, that Golf Channel was really the first of many niche channels. You know, the Tennis Channel popped up after that, and, you know, whatever, fishing shows. So absolutely, I hope it can continue. But let's shift. You had spent a number of years at the LPGA as their chief communications officer. What was it like during your years there? And I'm curious as to your thoughts on how far the women's game has come, just say, in the last 5 years.
Well, I got a call out of nowhere from Mike Wann in 2010, late that year. Mike had started, and then all of a sudden 2011 rolls around, and I'm at the U.S. Open at Congressional, and Mike says, "Hey, Craig, it's Mike Wann." And I'd interviewed him when he came there for his media tour when he started as commissioner, and he said, "This is way outside the box. You're probably going to tell me to go jump off a bridge or pound sand or whatever, but I'm interested to see if you would consider being our chief communications officer. I think you could add a lot, and you could help us take our brand to the next level and raise the awareness for the organization." I was flattered. I mean, I was beyond honored. You know, those types of jobs in the C-suite at executive levels of professional sports leagues don't fall in the laps of guys who wear makeup and read teleprompters. you know, that's just not the way it usually works. So, you know, I had to give it a lot of thought, and it did a lot of, I guess, forced my hand to quit television cold turkey after, you know, almost 25, 30 years. And that was very hard for me. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. That was very difficult. And to walk into an organization where people are like, okay, here comes Mr. Slick TV guy, as opposed to somebody who's coming in there to try to do whatever he can to help raise awareness and help with media and all the things that I did. What I will say is that the LPGA players are amazing ambassadors of their product. And what I found when I got there was the messaging was off, and they didn't have a high enough mountain or a big enough platform to shout that message. And they had to learn what to say, how to say it, what their story was, why people should pay attention, kind of goes back to my book that's out. How do we get noticed as opposed to waiting to get noticed? We have to do things that make people take notice. And so, you know, there was a lot that went into it. You know, Mike Wann's an amazing marketer. I think we all know that. He took chances with tournaments that didn't even have a purse. There was no payout. There were risks taken. The players went through media coaching, the executives as well. We had to learn our story and be able to find outlets to be able to share it outside of golf. Because, you know, quite frankly, I would tell them, let's leave the Golf Channel alone. Let's not worry about the, you know, Golf World, Golf Digest, Golf Week, and all of that, because they're going to cover us anyway. We've got to go to platforms that don't follow women's golf, that don't know enough about it. We've got to get our message out. And the players bought in. They were tremendous. They still are. And I think that's a big part of it. The fans bought back in. The media came in and gave it a chance. And the tournaments went from, you know, 24 up to 34 in a few years' time. And in 2015, we were nominated for Sports League of the Year. And that was an amazing victory. Even though we didn't win that award, I always tell people we won simply by inclusion. And there's a lot of people to thank for that.
Great strategies, definitely. And then it just seems overall, just maybe in the past 5 to 7 years, they're getting more and more attention, which is a good thing. And
yeah, they're
I know your
they're
book.
Looking for network TV. I mean, that's the big thing. You know, they want network exposure. That was Mike's big thing when I was leaving. That was his next. You know, you've got to figure out what your next is. And he had done so many great things with Purse and Opportunity and Communities and all the different things that we targeted. But he had to get that network exposure to try to reach the common sports fan as opposed to the golf fan who watches it on the Golf Channel. And that's a big difference.
Your book is called, as you mentioned, Can I Get Your Attention? I can't wait to read it. But what is the key message in this book?
Well, a lot of it is we live in this world, and I tied it all into sports, and I tied it into brand, and I tied it into business. I spend most of my time now working with corporate teams and leadership groups and traveling the country to do my workshops and coaching people on how to communicate effectively and how to present the best of themselves and the best of their organization through storytelling and other strategies. I wanted to give people an opportunity to learn how to get noticed on various platforms, from strategic communications, media relations, public speaking, you know, various presentation platforms, social media, all that. And because I talk about storytelling so much and the value that comes from it, I felt like I better share my own story as well. So weaved within the book is my career journey. With successes, obviously, but also failures, you know, things that happened to me, challenges. And it's all the way from me being an 8-year-old kid who knew exactly what I wanted to do with my life, which was to be on television, all the way to now. And some of the things that I learned about how to start a business and how to, you know, work with other people and all that. It's been amazing. It's won awards. It was top book at the New York Book Festival and the San Francisco Book Festival. It was a finalist at the International Book Awards.
Congrats.
Got a 5-star from Reader's Choice. So, I mean, there's a lot of great things available on Amazon, and it hit the top 20 list. I mean, you know, when you write a book, Ann, I don't know how much you know about all of that. I got to believe you do.
I have a book called A Passion for Golf, but it came out years ago.
Well, you don't know what the reception's going to be, you know, and you work on it for 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is, and it goes out there and you just hope. And so I want to give people an understanding of how, in this world with messages being bombarded all over us and around us, how many people really have something worth saying? How many people really have something worth getting people's attention? Because we're all distracted. It's a society of a lot of chatter, but not everybody has something to say. And can you say something that gets people's attention? Can you keep my attention?
That is so important. Substance is so important in today's society, especially
Absolutely.
With social media. I know, you know, obviously, can I get your attention? Social media is a big part of all of that these days. And, you know, the PGA Tour has come up with this player impact incentive initiative where they want to pay the top 10 players who rate in various analytics and social media. They're going to pay out $40 million. I mean, you think of all the perks that the PGA Tour has for these players. It's unbelievable. But wanted to get your thoughts on that. And then, of course, on the whole Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka social media war going on.
I think they're tied together, Ann. The more I've thought about this, the more I wonder if Bryson and Brooks don't have a little side thing going on of going, you know what, we're gonna stay in the media mainstream. We're gonna get everybody talking about us, and we'll cash in on some of this $40 million. Having said that, the overall program, am I a big fan of it? No, to be honest, I'm not. I understand why they're trying to do it, to try to create more interest, to try to create more awareness for the athletes and give them another way to make revenue. The PGA Tour is pretty darn healthy when it comes to money right now. And I hope that people do it effectively. I mean, there's a lot of people that do social media with great class. Stuart Sink comes to my mind immediately. And there are many others. And I'm not saying that a lot of people on the PGA Tour or in golf in general, you know, don't do that. But there's a lot of other things that we could do focusing in on golf. You know, you and I have been at the Golf Writers Association dinner multiple times in Augusta, Georgia. And it's really the same cast of characters that has been for years. We've been a part of it. Golf needs more storytellers. And now if these players can tell their story, great, but you need outlets to do it. And I've always thought, instead of focusing on growing the game, let's grow the number of storytellers and media outlets and writers that cover the sport. Because newspapers around the country are dying. They're cutting, you know, their workforce. They're cutting beat writers. Golf doesn't have that. So I hope that players use this in the right way and it doesn't become this thing of sensationalism and a bunch of people just saying stuff to get noticed or whatever. Let's do it for the common good. Let's do it for charity. Let's put our name out there in the community when we show up at an event. Let's try to make something of this opportunity that does something positive for people. Then I'm on board with it. And as far as the Bryson Brooks thing goes, I'm over it. And I, you know, to me, the villain in this thing is really Koepka. I know that DeChambeau's been annoying of late. He really has, and he better turn it around. These guys both have this amazing opportunity, and it's a window. We get a window to be noticed and taken seriously in life, and we have to maximize that with what we do. I think you've done a phenomenal job of taking your career and finding your niche and making something positive of it for your listeners, for whomever is out there, and that's what these guys have the opportunity to do. They need to stop cutting each other down, focusing on the positive. It is an issue for the Ryder Cup. And, I hope it doesn't do the Americans in. I really do. You only get home soil once every couple of years, and they better be positive about it. And I hope this thing can go away. And I think the players need to step in and say, guys, shut up. It's enough already.
I agree. Plus it's a distraction to each of their careers. They really haven't, you know, come off with wins since the whole exchange started.
Correct.
So I think it's totally a distraction, and it's not good. It's not good for the game. And the other part of this whole social media, you see it more with the women. You know, some of these LPGA players, they feel that the only way to get followers, and it's probably the reality, is to post sexy photos of themselves. And I just don't like seeing that. I just think that's demeaning to these women. But unfortunately, that seems to be the way to get the followers. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, obviously, it's a little bit of a slippery slope, right? I mean, everybody's got their own brand, so to speak. Some of the players that you're talking about aren't even full-time LPGA players. I mean, we could throw out some names that have great followers, but I think by and large, one of the things about the LPGA Tour that they're working on, and they have been for a long time, is what's our message? What's our strategy? What can we put out there? Can we show our personality along with our skills? There's a lot of different things going on with women's golf right now that are very positive. The opportunity to be on the EA Sports game with the PGA Tour is a huge branding opportunity for women's golf. That's terrific. The fact that KPMG has jumped in to allow statistical data to be used to actually compare the talents now of LPGA players along with the PGA Tour. Like, now we can find out if Indy Park truly is the best putter in the world when she's on, you know, things like that. I don't get into the whole, like, and I didn't have to deal with this when I was there for 5 years. You know, what are they wearing? Is there a line being crossed? All of that stuff. I think by and large, the LPGA players very much understand. They understand charity. They understand give back. They understand their fans and all of that. So I'm a big fan, as you know. And I think it's headed in the right direction. I think they need more awareness on network television. I think that's a big, big thing. Will they get it? I don't know. And then what happens with the Golf Channel when they are on? How can you grow personalities and get people to pay attention to the names of the players? Every sports league is basically run by its superstars. That's the way the NFL has been built. The NBA is a total player-driven league. Can the LPGA build around those talents of the Korda sisters and Danielle Kang and Indy Park and the other greats that are out there and really show them for what they are as great talent? That's the big thing to me.
We're out of time, but I did want to talk a little Ryder Cup. Let me just throw this question at you,
sure.
Craig. Does Phil Mickelson make your captain's pick of the six if you were in control?
No. But he would be there in support. I think he would add a lot. I need a lot of thumbs up from him. I'm going Spieth, English, and Reed. To me, Reed needs to be there. If you're going to have Koepka and DeChambeau causing all this chaos, you better have Captain America there. He went to the Olympics to fill in. He's doing the right things. And then I go with Cantlay and Webb Simpson as well, 11 and 13. That's where it gets dicey for the final pick. A lot of people would say Kevin Kisner deserves it finally. Scottie Scheffler has not won. He's 14th. Kokrak comes up. Zalatoris would be a real wild card. And I'm going off the board. I love Scottie Scheffler, but I would go Ryan Palmer at number 26. And I know that's way down the line. But when it comes to guts and team room and a guy with talent and makes a lot of birdies, to me, Palmer does it, and I think you got to have a guy that would fit a golf course. Kisner would do that as well, but I think you got to go off the path a little bit. So I'm 7, 8, 9, 11, 13, and then all the way to 26.
Wow, you did that pretty well in 1 minute. Craig, thanks so much for joining me. I didn't realize you were a White Sox fan, but congratulations on your incredible success and the success of your book, and I appreciate you coming on this morning.
Well, you fire me an address, and I'll send you a copy, and thank you for having me on. I'm a big fan, no pun intended. I'll do it anytime, and thanks for coming on my show on Sirius on Wednesday nights. We'll do it again, and to everybody, Amazon.com. Can you get our attention? I appreciate it.
And you certainly have gotten our attention, Craig Kahn.